Hey, folks, Dr. Brian King here. This week I'm coming to you from Seattle, Washington, and I'm here with my good friend Dusty Trice. How are you doing, Dusty?
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here. Dusty, you were a guest on a previous podcast.
Yes, I was.
But this time you're my co-host.
That's, I consent.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you're in for a treat today.
Really?
Yeah, you picked a really good day to be my co-host, because our guest is someone who I think is going to be very interesting for both of us to talk to.
Cool.
She is a sex therapist.
What?
A sex therapist, that's right.
Like she's a real one.
Like a real one, I'm assuming. I mean, are there fake sex therapists?
I don't know.
But, you know, so maybe if you're having some troubles with the missus.
Okay.
You can hire her up. She's a sex therapist. She's also a professional madam.
Wow.
And works in a legal brothel because she's in Nevada.
I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there.
Hi,
Dr. King. Hi, Dusty. Nice to meet you all.
I like your background with the fireplace and the snow. It looks nothing like Nevada. That's not how I picture Nevada.
Well, Nevada, where I live, is quite snowy in the mountains of Lake Tahoe.
Wow. Oh, okay.
And just to clarify, I do not work at a brothel.
Oh, you don't work at a brothel. So you're like self-employed madam or...
Yes.
I've always heard the word madam to be used in reference to like women who kind of oversee other women. Is that your role?
Yes.
How many women do you have underneath you?
Right now, none. No. At the moment, I have 3, but I've had up to 8.
Up to 8. That's a busy room.
Is it anything more than 1? That's what counts.
So, this is quite interesting. How'd you get into this kind of work?
Well, I feel like I was called. It's a spiritual calling. Yes. And I got into this about 10 years ago.
Spiritual calling, meaning that, you know, there was, there was a burning bush, and the voice from that bush said, go to Nevada.
Well, let's see. Ever since I was a young girl, it's been kind of my path. And I was a chef for 20 years before I took this role on, but I was already living in Nevada, so that was quite convenient. And then one day I was mopping the kitchen of where I worked, and I just had an epiphany, and it was like, you know, F this, threw down my mop, put up an ad, you know, the next day I'm rolling.
Nice. Yeah. This sex work's got to be preferable to mopping floors. Don't you
right. Know? Exactly. That's yeah. It. What kind of chef?
I was an executive chef. I was.
Wow.
I was the boss. So I did all kinds of stuff all over the country.
So you had business experience.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm an entrepreneur.
How many women did you have working for you there?
It just depends. I had a lot of women working for me. I like to employ beautiful women. It seems to make everything just go smoother.
I normally employ beautiful women. Today I'm stuck with Dusty.
He's a beautiful man.
He's all right. At least he does us the benefit of covering most of it with hair.
Right. That's so. It. That is true. I'm highly flammable this way. So
10 years. Can you kind of walk us through that career? I mean, how does one, you put up an ad and then 10 years later, you're a madam. Mm-hmm. How did that progress?
The first few years, I was just working on my own. And then I ended up getting an apartment to work out of. And then I started having other girls work for me there. And then eventually I was just managing them and booking their appointments and running all their advertisements and screening all their clients and taking a cut. And that's when I became a madam. So
you were working from home before working from home was cool.
That's right.
I never had clients at my house. No, I got a different apartment for work.
So it's got to be interesting work. I mean, obviously, I've talked to other sex workers who use websites like the Seeking Arrangements and stuff like that, you know, to find
seeking
clients.
Seeking Arrangements, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be about right. How do you go about getting your clients? Well, you work in a legal, I should say this differently, because you work in a legal environment. So I guess it's a little bit easier, right? You can put up an ad like anywhere, huh?
No, those assumptions are not based in fact. But, okay, so I get clients the same way any escort would get clients, you know, with the ads online and word of mouth. Seeking derangements is the first place I tried to find clients, but it's not a good place to find clients. But I have other ad sites that I use. And then it's legal in the state of Nevada, but it's not legal in the city that I live in, which is Reno. And it's not legal in Las Vegas either. But there are many cities all over the country where it is legal to have an escort service. So the legality stuff and the advertising stuff, they're not exactly, they don't go together like that.
Do you have to have a lawyer to figure this all out?
Yeah, it sounds complicated.
I did actually hire a lawyer when I first started to help me get all my ducks in a row. Yeah, definitely. Because I had to comb through the municipal codes to find out this information. Like, really, you have to search. One would have to search to figure out the legalities in their own city or state.
Right. So is it just, is it not permitted in Reno and Vegas? Like, they ban it explicitly? Or how does that work with the state having it legal?
That is the only state that has legal prostitution in the brothels, right?
Right.
Okay. So you can't have a brothel in the city of Reno or the city of Las Vegas. They're all on the outside. It's actually a county thing. So it's the county where Las Vegas is and the county where Reno is. But all the other counties of Nevada allow brothels. But this is the only state that does that. So if you're in a different state, you would get a privileged business license. So that's kind of like the same thing. Like if you have a bar or an auction house, it's that kind of business license.
Got it.
Or like a gambling hall. And then you get that license and you are licensed to have an escort service. So once you have an escort service, then, you know, it's all like semantics after that.
The devil is always in the details. So,
yeah. Yes.
What do you like best about your kind of work?
I get to meet interesting people and go to really cool places and do things I would never do otherwise.
What's the downside?
People, randos texting me rude things.
As a man, I've never been offered money to have sex. Well, it was one time Dusty was really desperate.
I didn't offer that much either.
And you know, whatever, I needed that $20, but
oh my gosh.
I just wonder, like, I mean, obviously, I would imagine, you know, as a woman, you are, so people make requests of you all the time. And then once they know what you do for a living, you probably get bombarded.
Or is it one creepy dude who just keeps coming up with
it's
creepier?
Me. It's Brian. It's me. I know. Ever since we kind of lined up this podcast, I just went, ooh, I got to get in touch with Olivia.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely those dudes that I block and then they get a new number and then they're dumb enough to tell me who they are and then I block them again and get a new number and it's like on and on and on. And you know, every new girl that comes under me, you know, I see all her texts, so they think they're so smart and they're gonna get that girl, and I'm like, hello, no, I have you blocked under my number, so I'm definitely gonna block you under her number. I'm not gonna let my precious angel that I'm trying to protect meet you, psycho guy.
Because that would be one of the advantages of working with you, is that you're screening, essentially. Exactly. Correct.
Yeah.
And how does that work? Like how do you meet a new girl and bring them on to work with you?
Yeah, it's a delicate procedure. I basically just wait till they contact me, because I can't solicit, you know, because that's, I think, pandering, which is a felony. So I try not to just go, like, you know, I can't really go to the university and set up a table at the job fair, although I would love to. I'm sure I would.
I honestly believe you should be able to. It's like, if we're going to legalize the work, we should make it, you know, like, you should have hiring fairs, you know,
tabling. Totally. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Right.
I tried to put an ad up on Indeed and they took it down, you know, LinkedIn, everywhere.
I'm very much pro legalization of sex work. I think it's stupid that it's the one thing that everybody wants, everybody, and people don't mind paying for it, and people don't mind offering it. It's just stupid that, as a sex worker, do you have limits as to what you're willing to do for a client, or how open are you in those areas?
Do you have a menu?
Yeah, that's a good one. Do you have a menu? What's the menu like?
I offer girlfriend experience plus. So that's my menu.
Is that like saying with fries? Is that like
you get it? Is he every 10th one is free?
No.
A discount card? No.
No.
There's a lot of people who are going to be listening to this or watching this.
Yeah. Now, they're like, where's my discount? No.
And my fries.
You know, I got the
girlfriend card.
So I was in Reno, and I got the girlfriend experience once from one of the brothels up there, you know, outside of Reno. And I paid for like a couple hours, girlfriend experience, GFE, they call it, you know. It was 2 hours of her yelling at me. and telling me to pick my underwear up off the floor. That was the girlfriend experience. And then she cheated on me with my neighbor. For people listening, what's the girlfriend experience? I mean, what is that really?
Well, I can't really go into much detail, but I can say that it's what you would experience with your girlfriend. If you were trying not to get her pregnant.
Okay, so that's
why. Okay.
All right. That's you're a girlfriend for hire. You know, is that fair to say? Girlfriend for hire.
A companion for hire.
A girlfriend experience, you know, and so we all want, sometimes you just want a girlfriend.
Makes sense.
Man.
See, what's interesting is we're learning so much about the legalities here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What he knows, man.
All she's the laws.
She's been in business for 10 years. And,
what are some of these other, like, prickly things that you could get into?
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah. Well, the big one is just saying act with a dollar amount attached.
Got it.
Okay. Right. Like, if you texted me, how much for a blowjob? You know, I would... First, I'd say entrapment, and then I block you.
Right.
That's me doing you a favor because I'm telling you that you're breaking the law.
I got you. So offering somebody money for a very specific act is against the law.
Entrapment.
I would definitely not be doing that in this podcast because you're in Nevada. We're in Seattle. I mean, logistically, it wouldn't work. Are you originally from Nevada?
I'm from Cleveland.
Oh, really? You're from Ohio? Mm-hmm. Wow. And how'd you end up in Nevada?
It's a long story.
All right. We don't really want to listen to stories in a podcast. So. It's not like...
I joined the AmeriCorps and came out here to work for the Forest Service.
Wow.
That is not the background that I would have expected.
No, not at all.
Like I got married to a guy.
Were you know planting trees or like...
Cutting them down.
Cutting them?
It was a lumberjill, yeah. I had to chainsaw up the mountain and then cut down trees.
You went from lumberjacking or lumberjilling, I guess. Wow, that's really kind of an interesting progression.
Thank you.
So would you like live out in the woods for a while or camp out there? That's amazing.
Yep, it was fun. It was a good job for a young person. I wouldn't do it now.
and then that brought you to Nevada, and then you at some point, you know, switched gears and you were a chef and you were working in that industry, and then you threw it on the mop, and that was 10 years.
On the mop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like when I started becoming a comedian, you know, I threw it on the mop. my background's in psychology, which is why they call me Dr. Brian.
I'm like a good hooker then, because it's a lot of psychology.
Nice. If you have any openings and if there's a market for what I have to offer, please definitely just tell me.
One of my other podcast hosts, he keeps texting me. He's like, "When are you gonna make me your madam? When are you gonna offer me up?" And I'm like, "What? Are you serious?"
Really? Is that a common thing that you experience with podcasts?
Just the one, you know, he's like, "I need to make some money off of this." I'm like, "Dude,
I need to make some money off of this." All right, let's see the goods, baby. That's wild. You do a lot of podcasts. I've noticed that. You have a bunch. What is it about telling your story that you like?
Well, I like educating and advocating about sex work.
What can you educate and advocate without getting in trouble. You know, that's,
a lot of people just have the wrong ideas about it.
Yeah, where is your podcast?
No, I think she's just a
just doing other podcasts. Yeah. You should do a podcast too. Now that
I don't know.
The lucrative world of podcasting.
Yeah.
The big bucks. The big bucks are in the podcast. You know, which is for sure. Designer T-shirt.
You get beautiful people like this.
That's right.
it seems like a lot of work.
Okay, let's get back to your current work because I think we're getting a little derailed.
Speaking of getting derailed.
What would you like? What would you like the world to know about what you do for a living?
We're not all like these drug-addled, ignorant floozies, you know, just wandering down the street waiting to be saved by Captain Save-A-Ho. Yeah.
Captain Save-A-Ho. I love it. How would you describe yourself as a sex worker?
Passionate, loving, adventurous. I'm service oriented. I have unconditional love for my clients. I'd like to meet them where they are. And I like to make a connection pretty much the instant we meet, because that's important to me. It's not important to all sex workers, but it's important to me. I just try to find a connection, you know.
I like that. I like the, because, you know, when I, the reason why I'm very pro sex work, and the reason why I take that position is because I, as a psychologist, I recognize the need. Like, people need to connect. And there are a lot of people out there that are lonely, and just, you know, even a little bit of connection with another human being once in a while would do them a great deal of good. Do you have limits with regard to, like, your clients? You know, do you have anything that that you won't do, or people that you won't service?
I do. Yes, I do.
I didn't really intend for that to be a yes or no question.
Can you paint us a picture of, yeah, like, what's the average person that would come to you for a service? Do you find yourself doing, like, educating for like a young virgin or something? Like, are you teaching sometimes?
I do that in my sex therapy business. That's my sex therapy business. That's a completely different business, and I use a different name and everything. In my sex work business, I only see mature men, and I don't offer porn star experience, and
right,
and there's certain demographics that I just don't see.
But the younger guys come for the education.
I do that through sex therapy business. Yeah.
Got it.
So yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the sex therapy side?
Absolutely.
When did you get into that?
2018.
Okay. And what drove that change in your career?
One of my sex work clients told me that I would be a good sex therapist, and I was like, I am not going to go get my PhD, you know. And he's like, no, you don't have to, you can just get certified as a surrogate partner therapist. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. And then I looked it up, and then I went to Philly and got trained, and then I started.
Wait, they do that in Philadelphia?
There's a lady in Philadelphia who trains.
I used to live in Philly. Nobody told me.
Well, I don't think they're looking to tell you. Is it usually just like one person, or do you do groups or couples, or what is the dynamic there?
Yeah, it's usually one person. Sometimes it's couples. Yeah, there's been some really interesting couples.
Are couples dicey? Is that the...
She's shaking her head. I love it. So, like, I can imagine a couple with, like, a really bad problem, and they're, you know, it's like, she won't do this, or he can't do that, or whatever.
She's sitting there cross-armed glaring, like, I mean...
Yeah.
At that point, you're in too deep, and you've gone the wrong direction at the same time. Like...
There's some people out there who are in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I, as a psychologist, I'm so supportive of sex work.
Is it only going to be limited to, like, Nevada, or do you see this being something that is going to open up in the United States moving forward?
I don't see it opening up in the United States anytime soon. Yeah. Let's see. There's escorts everywhere. Mm-hmm. Where you guys are, it's legal in Seattle to have an escort service.
Is it? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a pandemic recently. Is business picking up? Is it back to normal?
I wouldn't say it's back to normal. If normal was pre-pandemic, then no.
Mm-hmm.
But it has reached a state of normalcy, you know, and I'm only getting older and I don't have a lot of time for the shenanigans I used to pull. I'm pretty happy with the way my business is now. And when my kids are out of the house, I might kick it up a notch and go back into maybe have a franchise, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh,
multiple agents. Different cities, like Fight Club, but with hookers.
Yeah. Do you have like a regular clientele, or are you getting new people all the time?
Both. Yeah, both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like you got a group of regulars to see you like once a week or once a month, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be stable, you know, stable income. You know,
it's nice.
What is it like to bring somebody new in?
Good question.
Like a new client?
Yeah.
They're usually really nervous. Yeah. And they usually talk a lot. They're nervous talkers, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're trying to impress me. I don't know. They don't know what to do, you know. So it's like a learning curve for them. And sometimes I'm feisty and sometimes I'm a little mouthy.
Do you ever have a client
mouthy,
that's just a dud?
Mouthy like you're can having... be more than one thing in this particular.
Right. Do you ever have a client that's like just a dud? You can't work with them at all. Like
yes,
they just suck and it doesn't work out, and nothing you do is going to make it work out. Like
yeah, that happens not that much because I'm a professional and I can usually make. You know, I'm a chef, so I can. Work with what I have, right? And,
right.
I feel like those are the people that are going to be like, hey, you know what? If this doesn't work out, you might want to hire the sex therapist I happen to also be.
Yeah, I whip out those tools a lot, yeah.
Like, what are some tips to break the ice with somebody like that? Like, what are the tips and tricks you have for someone?
If they're like just so super nervous and they don't know what to do and they're like frozen and semi-traumatized in the moment, I just offer to put on some music and give them a back rub, you know, and then start talking to them, just ask them questions, because they're usually like super freaked out because they're like, oh my god, I've never done this before, and and you're like hot and there's boobs in my face and like you know, I'm like, just relax.
Typical guy. we always have that reaction when there's boobs in our face.
Or back rubs.
Oh yeah.
I can make that take 45 minutes, you know. I can make it take almost a whole hour and then it's like, oh, it's time to go.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, that's you're definitely the envy of at least your job anyway. It's definitely envy for most men. I think that if we could get paid for that kind of stuff, we absolutely would. I think most men
playing music that. And giving back rubs. If I could get paid for that.
Yeah, if
what kind of music?
Just whatever, you know, whatever I'm feeling. I'll usually put on like some jazz or something instrumental, just because, you know, music with words, I start to sing, and I don't know. It just depends.
Herbie Hancock, right there.
Yeah. Miles Davis, Herbie Hancock, yeah.
I feel like Hancock is probably appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. It's on my top of the list, yes.
You mentioned, you know, you corrected me when I mentioned you worked at a brothel. You haven't, but did you ever? No, you never went that route?
No, brothels, they want you to commit to being on location over, you know, for 3 weeks at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have kids and another job and a life, and I'm married, and I'm very involved in my community.
This isn't even your full time occupation, or no. is this a side hustle, or is this how does this compare to your other job?
Well, it used to be my full time job, you know, mm-hmm. but I really need like benefits and health insurance and stuff because I'm getting older. How does it compare? I spend less time doing this and I make more money.
Well, I guess there's a lot of friends with benefits. not the sort of benefits you're looking for. Obviously, your husband is okay with what you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not how you met him, is it?
No.
If that was, I'm like, that lucky dude, man. He's the one guy who's like paid for the girlfriend experience, got the wife experience.
Yeah, he is Captain Sabahoe, my hero.
And your fam, the rest of your family probably doesn't know, right?
Well, they're teenagers. They're starting to get a clue.
Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, it's not like you've straight out told them, you know, so this is what mommy does, you know.
They haven't asked.
How can people find out about you?
Well, they can go visit my website, www.livelarue.com.
You got any more questions, sir, Dusty?
Ready to think of some. I don't, which is shocking.
It's a rare opportunity, actually, to have somebody like her on the phone. And and I think that, more questions that would normally come to our mind.
Well, I was trying. I'm still back on Herbie Hancock and jazz. Like, I mean, I steered this into like a very PBS place. So.
Yeah.
Right on.
Well, Dusty, I appreciate you being my co-host for this particular
fun
episode. And Liv, thank you so much, Olivia, for being on my podcast.
I have to do a live show.
Is there anything else you'd like to plug?
Just hit me up on my website. Get hooked into my email blast, because that's where I promote all these podcast interviews that I do. And I also send out recipes and pictures.
Still a chef.
Still a chef. That's amazing.
Still got the chef. Excellent.
Yeah, and you can find me on LinkedIn also.
I actually LinkedIn with her.
There you go. I have one last question.
What's that?
What's the best food to get in the mood?
I have one client who loves to take me to oyster bars.
And really?
I've done a lot of raw oysters. Now, I don't know if that's the best food to get me in the mood.
They always say that oysters are an aphrodisiac. I feel like, you know, if with a professional, I don't know if you really need one.
Grill the peaches.
Ooh.
Nice.
Very cool. Will that be in the newsletter? These are in the newsletter. If they sign up, if people sign up, they will get these things from you.
I'll have to do a blog about grilled peaches. Mm-hmm. Thank you for finding me.
Olivia, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life and talking to a couple of fucking whatever we are. Middle-aged pervs. I don't know.
Thank you really for having me. It was my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And folks, those of you watching or listening, thank you for following the podcast. It's been another episode of On the Road with Dr. Brian. Thanks. Bye-bye. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Blues, women, and blues. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm an asshole.